My sermon this evening is based on the First Peter reading. There are numerous preaching styles that pastors have, and one of them is called expository preaching. This is a form of preaching that will detail a certain text or verse in the Bible, and it is my intent to examine each verse, beginning with verses 13 and 14, which read as follows. Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. I'd like to focus on that very first sentence up there where it says, with minds that are fully alert and fully sober. In the King James, that same sentence reads, gird up the loins of your mind. Gird up the loins of your mind. And I believe that this is really a picture of someone who is ready to take a trip or a journey. He wants to be unhindered with no loose garments that would impede his progress by wrapping themselves around his limbs. For you more, let's say, mature people, you will remember taking airplane trips back in the 1950s, 1960s. You will also remember that those people, they used to get really dressed up when they would get on the airplane. Do you remember that? Men would actually wear suits and ties and their Sunday shoes. Women would wear really nice dresses and their fancy jewelry. And yes, I know it sounds ridiculous now, but I remember those days. We would take a formal dress into that journey. This was serious business. You were a very alert and sober in your thinking. And I really believe that's what that verse is telling us, that we should not go on a spiritual journey unprepared. This is serious business in preparing for a journey. During that spiritual trip, Peter says here in verse 14 that we should be obedient children and not conform to evil desires. This states that we should break off with the lifestyle of the world, characterized by that final word in that verse, ignorance. The lifestyle of the world today says, hey, if it feels good, just do it. But we're not in the 1950s or 60s anymore. No one is getting dressed up for plane rides anymore. Those days are over. Verse 15 reads, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. How many of you are feeling holy right now? Can we be as holy as God is? And the answer is, we can't. We are sinful, depraved creatures. We are born blind, dead, and an enemy God at birth. There is something really wrong with us. That famous Christian author, Max Lucado, said the following, quote, it's not that we can't do good, it's just that we can't keep from doing bad. Love that. Since our perfect God has called us by the gospel, we should strive to prove ourselves holy, a model of purity for others, a person who is well pleasing to our holy God. How are you doing with that endeavor? Verse 17 reads, since you call on a father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear. When is the last time you talked to your Father in heaven? Last week? This morning? A few minutes ago? Through the gift of prayer, we call on a holy God. When we say that prayer, we must understand that we call on a God that shows no partiality. This makes a more working, sober, and holy trip all the more important. Because God renders judgment in an impartial way. He will not be influenced by the fact that we call ourselves a Christian, because God looks at the heart. This is the standard on the last day of judgment. Because of that standard, we should pass the time of our life here in reverent fear. Not the fear of a slave, but of holy reverence before the Creator of the world. Verses 18 and 19, for you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. I'd like to focus on that phrase, the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors. This verse is saying that because of our own sinful nature, we are held captive by Satan. We are being held as ransom, but we have no payment for that ransom. Peter tells us that silver and gold are perishable. They mean nothing. The richest man in the world is not rich enough to pay that ransom. It has to be paid by the precious blood of Jesus. So I stand here before you tonight, and I will say something to you that you have not heard for a while, maybe even never, and that is, you are a slave. You are a slave. You are a prisoner held by Satan, kidnapped by him. The ransom was too high for any human to pay. So Jesus stepped in and Jesus said, I will take your place. You see, you have been bought. You have been purchased by God himself. You are now owned by God. You do not own yourself. He owns you. You are a slave to God. Have you ever thought of that before? You have been chosen, set apart by the Spirit. You are very special to him. Now let's get to the really interesting portion of these verses. Verse 20, he was chosen before the creation of the world. Did I hit the wrong? I'm at 20. There we are. That was my mistake. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Have you ever thought about this before? What was God doing before the creation of the world? Before Genesis 1:1. St. Augustine had two answers to people who asked this question, what was God doing before creation? His first answer was jokingly, I think it was jokingly, he said he was preparing hell for people who would ask such a question. But then on a more serious level, he gave this answer. He said that since there was no time before creation, the question actually is meaningless. But the Bible tells us that God was not inactive prior to creation. It speaks of God loving and planning before the earth was even created. We know this by several Bible verses. Titus 1:2, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. And then Jeremiah 1, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And therefore, before you were born, I consecrated you. And here's my favorite, Ephesians 1, 4, and 5. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. These phrases show that God was not taken by surprise by the fall into sin. It was all planned before creation. He had already determined that Jesus would die for our sins and rise again, all because of his great love for you and me. Even though we were not physically created yet. Don't you love that last sentence? This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. It should not surprise us that God was planning his kingdom before he created the universe, because God did not just light a fuse of the great Big Bang and hope for the best. He created it intentionally with a specific end in mind. It's very important to note how closely love is connected with God's plan for his kingdom. And that is how deep and broad and high is the love of God. This triune God decided that even though we would corrupt his world of paradise, he loved us so much that he sent his own son here to die on that cross, to serve as our ransom, to win us back. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. All out of love. That is the love that we should cherish. We have been bought. He paid the ransom. And because of that love that transcends all of our understanding, we owe him everything. Yes, we are slaves. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. Amen.